Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning today a beautiful, deep Chassidic discourse of the Rebbe in honor of the upcoming holiday Rosh Hashanah. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Yivchar Lanu Es Nachlaseinu. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on the second day of Rosh Hashanah in the year Tavshin Chav Gimel, which is exactly 62 years ago. The Rebbe went on to certify and edit this Chassidic discourse in honor of the holiday Rosh Hashanah in the year Tavshin Nun Aleph, 34 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in Psalms, Psalm 47, verse number 5. So the verse says as follows: Yivchar lanu es nachlaseinu. He chose for us an inheritance. As Goyin Yaakov, the proudness of Yaakov Asher'ayv, that he loved, Sela everlasting. That's the literal translation of the verse of Psalms. So the previous Rebbe brings in a Chassidic discourse with this title, which is part of the Chassidic discourses of Rosh Hashanah in the year Tavshin Gimel. So he brings a translation of the Targum. And the Targum says, Yirei Lona, Lemeiras Yosach Snosana Yosbim Gersha Diyakov Derachem Et La'almin, which means, it should be the will of Hashem to inherit the temple of Jacob that has compassion forever. So he brings out, the Friedrich Rebbe asks, one second, the fact is we know that the Bet HaMikdash, a temple, belongs to Hashem. Like it says in the Torah clearly, Vasu li should make to me Mikdash. It knows, yes, we built the Beis HaMikdash, but we made it for Hashem. It's Hashem's Beis HaMikdash. So why does the Targum say that it's the Beis HaMikdash of Yaakov? Also, what's the connection with Goyin Yaakov, the proudness of Yaakov, which is referring to the Bet HaMikdash, to what? To our inheritance. So the previous Rebbe explains the Chassidic discourse that what does it mean, our inheritance? It actually refers to the point of Judaism, the point of the Jew, which is lying within in the depths of our hearts. And that's the Bet HaMikdash of Yaakov. Like it says in the verse, V'asu li, you should make to me a Mikdash v'shachanti v'soicham, and I'm going to dwell amongst them, plural. What does it mean, plural? It should say v'soicham, I'm going to dwell in the Bet HaMikdash. Because Hashem dwells within each and every one of us. And therefore the literal translation is that the Yivchar lanu, as Goyin Yaakov, that in the future, what's going to be in the future when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to return to us the Beis HaMikdash. So we have to understand the connection between the translation of the Chassidic discourse, that the Goyin Yaakov is referring to the temple of that's in each and every individual, with the literal translation, the Goyin Yaakov is referring to the third temple, which is going to be what? When Mashiach comes. Now, this verse of Psalms is one of the psalm that we say seven times before we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. What's the connection with this psalm and blowing the shofar literally? Because in this psalm, in King David says, Allah Elohim Betrua, Elohim, the name, God has many names, the name of Elohim went up in Trua, and Havaya Yudke Vavke went with Bekoil and the sound of the Shofar. What does that mean? So Chazal tell us that initially Hashem is sitting on the throne of judgment. Allah Elohim, Elohim is judgment, Betrua. But when the Jewish people go ahead and they take the Shofar, and they blow it in front of Hashem, so Hashem gets up from the cheer of judgment, Elohim, and he goes to the cheer of compassion. And that's why he says, Allah Elohim Bishruah, God is getting up from the cheer of justice, and the Hashem Bekal Shofar, and he goes into Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is all about Chesed. And what happens when he goes into the world of Chesed, of compassion, he gives us a lot of compassion, and he has compassion over us, and he transforms the judgment into compassion, into beautiful blessings. And that's why we say this song before we blow the shofar, because to bring proof from the Bible about drawing in that God is shifting from the seed of judgment to the seed of compassion, which happens what? Through the blowing of the shofar. So when you hear them before you blow the shofar and you hear the psalm, you'll know spiritually what's taking place. We're aspiring on to shift from judgment to compassion and give the Jewish people a great, powerful blessing. Now, this that we say, this psalm before we blow the shofar, not only this verse, But the whole psalm, you know, besides the verse of Allah Elokim Betruv Hashem Bekol Shev, we don't say only one verse. We say the whole psalm. So obviously, all the verses in that psalm are connected to the concept where Hashem is getting up from the seat of judgment to the seat of compassion through blowing in the shofar. That's the whole psalm. And how much more so this verse, the verse that we started the Chassidic discourse with, of Yivkalanu, which is right next to the verse, Allah came into Hashem Shofar. So obviously it has a connection to the same idea of going from justice to compassion. Just one second, we have to understand. Why? What did we just learn? What does it mean Yivkalanu? That Hashem is choosing the Jewish people. Now, why is he choosing the Jewish people? That's a choice for no reason. He's choosing us. It's not because we're doing anything special that he's choosing us. We did something well, so Hashem is choosing us. No. Hashem is choosing us. And not only that, when someone chooses, choosing is not because of the other person. It's not because of a logic, a reason, or an emotion. Choosing comes from the essence. In the word of Kabbalah, language of Kabbalah, it is in the Atzmus, the essence of Hashem is choosing. And in the essence, there's no room for an awakening. There's no Ishus L'Tavta. In other words, besides the fact, when Hashem chooses, he's choosing on his own, and it's not being inspired based on what we're doing, but even more so, in the place where Hashem's choosing, our work, our effort can't even reach there. But on the other hand, when we say God went up from Truah, which means Elohim, judgment, and he switched over to compassion, that comes through our effort of blowing the shofar. So on one hand we're saying is, Elohim b'Truah v'Hashem b'Kol Shofar, that means by us blowing the shofar, we're inspiring God to move from justice to compassion. But here we're saying Yivchar, it's choosing we can't reach that level. But since these two verses are together, obviously there's some kind of connection. And else, what does that mean? When we take the shofar and we blow the shofar, we cause compassion, which comes through our effort. In the words of Kabbalah, there's a Sirus Laila, which gets awakened through the Sirus Latata. When we do our work, Hashem gets inspired to shift over. And through that, we cause the compassion that even from the level of Bechira, which is basically much higher, Hashem should choose us as well. And obviously, in the Chassidic discourse, we're going to explain how the two go together. The other thing I'd like to add, this idea that when the Jewish people blow the shofar, what we cause is to draw down even from the place of choosing, and choosing of the essence of Hashem, Bechiras Ha'atzmus, where we normally cannot reach. So we'll understand that based on what's known, that what is the whole idea of Rosh Hashanah? So in the world of Kabbalah, it's known that what's Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is all about, and I'll say it in Hebrew, I'll translate it, Binyan HaMalchus. We're building the sphere of Malchus. And like we say in the prayers, Imru Lefani Malchus, we recite verses about kingdom, Kedei, in order, I should be able to be a king over you. So Rosh Hashanah is all about building Malchus. Now, so if Rosh Hashanah is all about building Malchus, on one hand we know that the mitzvah of the day is to build a shofar. So what's the connection? Because how do you build Malchus? How do you create a God who wants to become the king of us? Through the shofar. And like it says clearly, how do you do it? Through the blowing of the shofar. And the connection of Rosh Hashanah between building Malchus is literally, why? Because what happens to Rosh Hashanah, there's a renewal of the whole creation of the world. And like we say clearly, Zeha Yoyim, this day referring to Rosh Hashanah, Tchilas Masachah is the beginning of the creation. And as every single Rosh Hashanah, the worlds get created again, from new, just like in the initial creation of the world. How is that? And they're explaining this. Because the whole world is created from what sphere? From the sphere of Malchus. So Malchus creates the world, the ultimate sphere that does the final creation of the world. And drawing down Malchus, every Rosh Hashanah, even the first Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of creation of the world, is only for 1 year. Malchus gets renewed for 1 year. It's a 1 year contract. And what happens is every Rosh Hashanah, as it starts getting nightfall, so Malchus goes back up. There's no Malchus. However, when the Malchus goes up, when it gets elevated and it gets concealed, it goes into the internal part of Malchus. What is the internal part of Malchus? In the depth of Malchus is, you have, every sphere is connected to all the spheres. What's the most deepest part of Malchus? So it goes into the emotions, it goes into the intellect, and it goes into the highest level of Malchus, which is Keter. And in there you have Tainug, the highest part of Keter, and the Rutz and the lower part of Keter, which is basically compassion and the will that Malchus has. And the energy of the world of Rosh Hashanah, even before God becomes a king. So where is that from? That comes from the external part of Malchus. You know, like, for example, what does it mean, the external part of Malchus? Let's say you're tired and you're exhausted and you do something. So there's no pleasure in there. So when anytime you're doing something just to do it and you're getting the job done, it's not coming from the internal part of the sphere. It's coming from the external part. And like the expression is that in the light of Rosh Hashanah, before God becomes king, so the world is in a state of faint. Because again, we don't have the internal part of Malchus. We don't have the Taina. We don't have the Rotzin. Malchus went into the internal part. What do you have? It's just existing. Survival mode. And that's why we say, God says, tell me the Malchios, so that I should be a king. What does it mean, a king? Not just a physical king, but I should want to be the king, and I should have pleasure from being a king. Now it's known that when on Rosh Hashanah, when Malchus gets concealed, it's on all levels. And what does that mean, all levels? Action, speech, thought, emotions, intellect, everything goes back to its source. And we draw down Malchus, which again means from the internal part, from the pleasure and the will, which is the two levels of Keser. How do we draw that down? It comes from the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. It comes from, I'll say it in Hebrew, from Atzmus Ein Sof. And this, that the Hashem becomes king over us, and it happens through blowing the shofar. So obviously, what creates the building of Malchus? Blowing the shofar. So when you blow the shofar, and it's important to notice, when you're blowing the shofar, the shofar under the shofar is going, it's to the highest places, it's going to the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. When you're blowing shofar, you're reaching the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, and that causes the Tainug and the Ratzon to come down to this world, that God is happy to go ahead and continue being the king of the world. So let's ask 1 second. We have to understand. Blowing the shofar, we know, is a mitzvah. God commanded us to blow the shofar. Now, when is it possible to command, to give a mitzvah, after God is a king? Like it says clearly, accept my kingdom, and then I'll give you decrees. But on the other hand, what did we just learn? In order for God to be the king over us, that we're going to ask and plead with God to become the king, we have to reach the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than before he became a king. So how is it possible by blowing the shofar, which is a mitzvah that comes afterwards, that's going to make God a king? You know, why are you blowing the shofar? Because God told us to be a king. Because God commanded us to blow the shofar. But if God commanded us, then he's the king. But if it took him before he became the king, where's the mitzvah to blow the shofar? So what do we see from here? That when it comes to blowing the shofar, there's two concepts. Two ideas in blowing the shofar. One, you have the mitzvah of blowing the shofar. And yes, that comes after God becomes the king. But then there's a second component, that by blowing the shofar, we reach the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than being a king. And it's not a contradiction. Now, in another place it's explained, the reason that in order to be, to create Binyan HaMalchus, building Malchus, that's when you bring down from the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. Why? Because what's Malchus? What's the definition of the sphere of Malchus? Malchus is all about revelation. And Malchus in every single sphere is basically, because every sphere is intertwined with all the 10 spheres, what's the idea of Malchus? Is to reveal the sphere. Without Malchus, nothing gets revealed. So within Chesed, Chesed is kindness. But if there was no Malchus in Chesed, kindness wouldn't be revealed. They're saying Gvura and Teferis and so on and so forth. So Malchus is basically, and then there's the Malchus, the global Malchus for all the spheres. But Malchus is all about revelation. Now, the revelation of Malchus in the spheres is where it starts, where in Atzilus, in the highest world. But in order to have the revelation of Malchus in the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, so that's when Malchus has to be independent. So in Atzilus, Malchus, part of the sphere that reveals the sphere. In the lower worlds, Malchus has to have its own independence, full revelation. For example, like when a person speaks, because we know that in Kabbalah it says, we say Friday night in Pesach Aliyah, Malchus is speech, Malchus peh. What is the idea of speech? What do you need to speak? You need to speak to reveal to someone else. So Malchus is all about revelation. What's the whole idea of building Malchus and Rosh Hashanah? That the revelation shouldn't only be in the creation, even in the world of Bri Yetzirah, the spiritual. But the goal is there has to be a revelation in the physical world. And not only in the physical world, on the lowest level. Up till we have the lowest level, daimim, inanimate. And like we say in the praise of Rosh Hashanah, the Yeda called Paul Ki Ata Ba'altoi, everything that was created should know that God created it. In other words, that even the doimim, the lowest, this doimim Tzmei Chaim Adamber, the lowest levels inanimate in the physical world should know that what? That Hashem created the world. And that's why it says, Hashem says, Imru Lefani Malchios. Tell me the verses of Malchios so that I can be a king over you. How? What causes it to happen, blowing the shofar? So the question is, one second, let me just say the words of Malchios. But why do I have to blow the shofar? But you have to blow the shofar as well. Why? Because in order to affect that God should become the king, which means that the physical world should feel and recognize God as the king, that specifically happens by blowing the shofar, a physical shofar. Up to the point that the blowing the shofar, we have to use a shofar specifically from an animal. And because we want it to be revealed in the physical world, in the animal part of the human being. And in order for that level should be revealed in the lowest level, you need to have specifically the horn of a shofar. And you have to be in a way that the shofar is disconnected from the animal, can't be connected, because the idea, the shofar has to become a doimim. When you use a doimim, through that you have the power to bring godliness to the lowest level. Now, anytime you want to reach the lowest level, you need to have the sources from the highest level. The source from the highest goes to the lowest. So if you can't go low, you have to go higher to the source. When you go higher to the source, you can go that lower. And like he brings the analogy from the power and the awesome power of intellect, and specifically Chachma. We know Chachma is the first and the most powerful part of the intellect. In other words, that in order for Chachma to go down to the lowest level, to penetrate to the lowest places, that's because of the power, how powerful Chachma is. In other words, in order to bring down the intellect and to bring it into, let's say, a parable, and the power should be aligned with the truth, the only way you can do that to the lowest level when you really understand it. When you understand it deeply, you can bring it down to the lowest level. And to point out, that the power of bringing it to the lowest level is in two levels. One is that you're able to, in the words of Kabbalah, you're able to mitzamtzem, you're able to contract the intellect so that the student should understand it, so you understand something brilliantly. If you're going to teach it the way you understand it, the student's not going to know it. You have to somehow dilute it and present it in a way the student gets it. That's point number one. Also, you have to be able to conceal the intellect. How? If it's too powerful, through using different parables. So when you want to explain something deep to someone that does not on that level yet, one component is you have to conceal it so that he comprehends it, and more importantly, you have to dress it up in a parable. And in order to conceal it, you need to have obviously a tremendous gift, a much higher gift. And he says that you could say the reason why he brings in the Chassidic discourse the analogy of the parable that brings it down to the lowest level, because when you're talking about the power and the purity of chachma, of intellect, so you need to bring it down to the lowest level, you need to use the idea of a parable. Even though when it comes enclosed in a parable, you know, it's unlike when you're just doing a symptom contracting, it's seemingly opposite of the brilliance of the idea, but the fact that you're able to take this brilliant idea into a parable. So that actually shows how great Chachma is. In other words, this that we say that when it comes into a parable is the opposite of the brilliance of the intellect. That's when the power of the intellect has some kind of a form to it. and therefore cannot come in, and because it's a lower level, it has already a form, it can't come into a parable. But the truth is, real power, real greatness, real brilliance, you can bring into a parable. So if someone says, I can't really explain it to you, it's obviously not in the highest level. The highest level, the deepest level, the smartest people have the ability to bring things down on a level that people comprehend it through the idea of a parable. And everything you can say, that the revelation that takes place through Malchus, the way it's in the spheres of Zeram from the small face, which is a 6 meters, Chesed Gur Tiferes Netzach Yisoid, which is revealed in the world of Atzilus, that would be like, on that level, just the coming down into Atzimtzum contraction. But on the other hand, to reveal of Malchus, the way it's it stands on its own in the world, in revealing it in the world of Briya, Yetzirah, Asiya, the lower worlds, so that comes down through explaining it in the parable. So what do we see from here? The real power of bringing down and creating and building Malchus, and especially building Malchus in Rosh Hashanah, because it's not limited in any type of a form or a shape, etc. So in order to bring that down, and you want it to come down to the lowest worlds of Briya, Yetzirah, Asiya, and in Briya, Yetzirah itself, even in the inanimate part of the world, even that the inanimate part should know, like it says in the prayers, everything that was created should know that Hashem created. So we're bringing that literally from the highest levels down to the lowest levels. You can say, based on this explanation, that in order to build Malchus, so you have to go to the highest level, Atzmus Oyr Ein Soif, the essence of the infinite Hashem, is so that why do you have to go so high? Because you want to bring it down to the lowest levels, and the lowest level where it gets enclosed in the lowest levels, is because you're bringing down from the highest levels, the most mufla levels, which is not categorized, and then you're able to go down to the lowest levels. When Malchus revealed, it's also connected to what? To the most powerful level. So the most powerful levels reaches what? The lowest level. Why is that? Because the level of where it's wow, and you cannot quantify it, any type of shape or form, and that has the power to go into the lowest level. By going down in the lowest level, that actually reveals how powerful it is. So when something is able to penetrate so deep and so low, so you can look at, oh my gosh, it's dealing with physics. No, that shows how powerful it is. And not only that, the revelation of the power is in the way it comes down. Because something that's greater and greater can go down to the lowest. Something that's a very powerful idea in general in life. If someone's great, he can deal with the most challenging situations. Someone that can deal with challenges, someone that can deal with struggles, someone can deal with difficult situations, obviously because it's coming from a very, very powerful level. Someone that can't, obviously there's somewhere in between. But again, it's not a matter of judgment. It's about, the point is that if you want to be able to deal with challenges, you have to be able to go deeper and higher and connect to the higher source. Let's go back inside. So what do we see from here? That this is what it says in the Chassidic Discourses that explains this idea. That what happens in Rosh Hashanah, we have to bring down from the highest level. Because we're trying to build the world, we're trying to build Malchus in the lowest level. We have to go to Atzmus Oyr Ein Sof. What does that mean? We're talking about to the way Atzmus Oyr Ein Sof is totally off the charts and doesn't have any limitation. And not even limitation of the essence of itself. However, according to the explanation before, that the reason for drawing down Malchus on Rosh Hashanah has to be from the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, because the elevation and when Malchus gets concealed is on all levels, and therefore you have to bring it from the highest level, which basically means drawing it down from the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. And Rick explains, and he says, we know that in Rosh Hashanah there's two ideas. On one hand, what's Rosh Hashanah? The main idea of Rosh Hashanah, which we know, when is Rosh Hashanah? The first day of the month of Tishrei. First day of the month of Tishrei is what? The day Hashem created mankind. And every single year on Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei, what gets renewed? The creation of mankind. It's mankind's birthday. And like it says, Atam Kriyam Adam, we're called Adam. So it's Adam's creation, Adam's birthday, that's when man was created. That's one component of Rosh Hashanah. We were created. Another idea of Rosh Hashanah is, since we are the ultimate of creation, so therefore, on every single year, the day we are created, what gets renewed is the creation of the world, which was created on the 25th day of Elul. So there's two components. Rosh Hashanah, on one hand, is the day we were created. It's our birthday. It's our celebration. On the other hand, no, it's the celebration of the world. So why are we waiting until the day we're created? Because since we're the ultimate creation, then what gets really renewed is the creation. And there it says, that's why it says in the verse, Zeh HaYoyim, this is the day, Tchilas Masecha, the beginning of your action, a remembrance the first day. And words, when we say this is the beginning of your creation, it's referring to human being. That's the main part Hashem created, that we're created in that day. And the commemoration to the first day is referring to the first day of creation, which is on the 25th day of Elul, that's when the world was created. And this that we're saying, that the Rosh Hashanah, we're building Malchus, is for both components. In other words, because when you have Malchus, so then the worlds are going to be created again from new. And the main part of creating of Malchus is so that mankind will be created. As we know that mankind and Malchus is really one. Because the fact is, we know that Malchus actually is called in Kabbalah, Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people. So based on this, in order to accomplish building of Malchus, which is needed to create the world and to create mankind, so you have to reach a place that world doesn't exist, and even the souls don't exist. You have to go to a higher level. So then the question is, if we're going so high, how is it possible that a soul, which is a creation, through our work, we're going to reach a place which is higher than our existence? So the point of the explanation is as follows. This, that when Malchus leaves and goes to the higher level of Malchus, and in that place, yes, there is no room, not for souls and not for our work, because as we said, souls and Malchus are the same thing. That's in reference to the physical existence of the soul. However, the idea of Tamlichuni, that we want to make God should our king, that means the Jewish people are asking and pleading when Hashem should be our king, that comes from the bittul, which is the self-acceptance, the internal self-acceptance from the Neshama, which the internal part of our soul is connected in the essence of Hashem. And when the essence of our soul gets revealed, then we bring down the essence of Hashem, and through that you create the building of Malchus. So that's the main point. Now he's going to explain it more in depth, and he explains like this. Building of Malchus, where God becomes the king over the world and of mankind, which happens by drawing down the essence of Hashem, which happens through revealing, not our neshama alone, because our neshama alone is from a lower level, but from the essence of our soul. You can say, based on what's explained, explained also, that with the concept where it says, Yisrael olu b'machshava, the Jewish people were elevated in God's thought. What does that mean? We're elevated to the thought of the essential thought. In other words, what does that mean, the essential thought? There's thoughts, and there's the essential. What does it mean, the essential thought? And he explains it this. Generally speaking, when you think, what do you think about? You think about other things. So you're thinking about things outside of yourself. Like, for example, a person thinks about something. So there's your thinking, and you're thinking about something outside of yourself. So it has nothing to do with you. And then you have the thought of the Jewish people, which is one with the person that's thinking. And that's why it says, who did God consult with when he wanted to create the world? So it says, with the souls of the righteous people. Now we know, V'am Echulim Tzadikim, we're all righteous. So when God was thinking about creating the world, who was he thinking about? Not only for creation of the world itself, whether he should create the world or not create the world, but even on the thought whether he should create, no, you're thinking, should I create the world or not create the world? That's one level of thought. But even on the thought whether he should even think about creating the world. So what do you see from here? That the Jewish people, that when God consulted with them, if he should even think about creating the world, so they're much higher than that thought. Because if God consulted with the Jewish people before the world existed, before we existed, how had he consult with us? Because obviously we exist on a much higher level. Because the thought of creating the world, which is obviously a very, very high level, it's about a person thinking about something outside of himself. Should I create it or not? And as the thought is outside of you. But the fact is, the Jewish people's alub machshav, we're in a higher level of that thought. We're part of the essential thought of Hashem. And he explains over there that the reason that the creation and the thought of creating the world was from the place of Yisrael Olu Machshava, as the Jewish people, in the essential thought of Hashem, even though that the essential thought is higher than the thought of creating the world, because when it comes to even the essential thought, there's two levels. One is, a person in his essential thought, you think about yourself, and then you can think about something which is disconnected from you, but the fact is the thought is not outside of you, because you're the one you yourself are thinking. And that's why he says the Yisrael, the Jewish people, Olu Machshava, is on speaking on the second level. In other words, it's as if God, the essence of God, so to speak, is thinking about something outside. And like it says, Banim Atlam Hashem Lakechem, we're children of Hashem. We're children, we're not part of Hashem himself. But since the source of the soul is in this essential thought, in other words, the essence of Hashem is thinking about something outside of himself, which is really part of himself. So therefore, even after it comes out of Hashem, it's still part of Hashem. In other words, like take for example a simple example of a child. When a child is born, he's an independent existence. But the fact is, in every child that's born that has his own existence, you have with you the essential part of your father. So therefore, when Hashem chose to create the world, he consulted with the Jewish people. Why? Because the intent of creation of the world, that the world should be a dwelling place for Hashem, how does that get completed? It gets completed through the souls. And you can say that the connection of the souls and Malchus, the way it's in its source, in the essential thought, is that the essence of Hashem is thinking about something else, just like the sphere of Malchus. Why? Because what's Malchus? Malchus is all about something else. It reveals something else. Like when there's no, you know, without a nation, you can't be a king. So he said, you can explain the reason that when you reveal the essential part of the soul, which happens how? Through blowing the shofar. So by blowing the shofar, which you're revealing the essence of the soul, that's what creates the Malchus. Why? Because when gets revealed the source of the soul, the way the soul exists on the in Machshava Atzmis, in the essential thought, so through that, you draw that Malchus from its source, the way Malchus is also in the Machshava Atzmis. What Rebbe is explaining is saying as follows. Ultimately, the soul exists in the initial thought of Hashem. Malchus exists there as well. And when your soul blows the shofar from its essential thought, and you go into that place, you take Malchus, which is hiding there, and you bring it down in a revealed way, and that's how you build Malchus. But this is one thing we have to understand. Based on what we just learned, that by blowing the shofar, what happens? Tamlichuni aleichem, Hashem becomes king over us. Why? Because when you blow the shofar, what gets revealed? The source of the soul, the way it's sourced in the essence, which is higher than doing a mitzvah. But on the other hand, blowing shofar is a mitzvah. So what do you see from here? That the idea of Hashem becoming king over us is also connected to the mitzvah of shofar. It's true, yes, we're in the highest level. What are we using to connect to that place? We're using to blow the shofar. But how can we use a shofar if the shofar only came afterwards? So obviously, shofar is also connected on a deeper level. And how is that? Never explains as follows. It will stand the base on what the previous shofar explains in that the Hasidic discourse in Rosh Hashanah, that when Hashem had the will of Ano Emloich, I'm going to be the king. So there's three levels in the Ratzon, in the will of being the king. What are the three levels? And he explains as follows. There's a Ratzon Goli, there's a revealed will. Hashem wants to be the king. Then there's a Ratzon Nelam, a concealed will. And then there's a Ratzon HaMuchlet Ba'atzmusay. That's a will which is totally concealed in the essence. So you have the revealed will, the concealed will, and then you have the will which is totally tied up within the essence of Hashem. Now, these three levels, even those three, we're going to divide up into two parts. You have the revealed will, and you have the concealed will, that both of them are revealed. One's revealed, one's concealed, but they're both revealed to the person. What's the difference? In reality, the one that's revealed, so that you can awaken it, in the reality, it's revealed. The one that's concealed, so it's concealed if you can't do anything with it, and that's why it's called concealed, because it's concealed from reality. So they both go into the same category. One's revealed, concealed, but they're both, you can both easy access. But then you have the wheel, which is concealed within the essence, which is totally concealed. Even you yourself don't know that you have that will. Like, for example, the will to have a house. Every person, according to Kabbalah, from the essence of the soul, even though you don't know about it, you have a will to want to have a house. Why? Because that's you need it for yourself. Like it says in the Talmud, a person of a house is not a human being. Every person needs a place that you have your privacy and you can be who you are. So that's one difference. Another difference between the revealed will and the concealed will, that to awaken the revealed will is something which is called the Surah Al-Tata. It's the revealed will, so you're just going to reach out and the revealed will happen. And when the Jewish people accept upon himself the yoke of Hashem, and we say, Hashem, be king over us, Hashem is king. Which will? The revealed will. Now, this idea that the revealed will could be awakened through our effort, that was also in the beginning of creation. And the way that will was awakened, in Kabbalah it's called Halah Asman, the feminine water. And like it says clearly, who did Hashem consult with? The souls of the righteous people. That, in other words, when Hashem realized the pleasure that he's going to have with the work of the tzaddik and the righteous people, I mean, like to underscore, everyone's a tzaddik, so Hashem all of a sudden had an awakening to be the king, just like a regular king. That how does the regular king inspire to want to be a king? Because the people crown him, they give him a crown. So that's the first level. So the revealed will gets a, you just want it, you reach out to Hashem, hey, we want you to be king, boom, Hashem reveals it. But to awaken the concealed will, that doesn't come from an external source. That has to be awakened from on your own. And he explains over there that through the awakening, Kabbalistic terms, Isus Latata, when we do our part, so that it gets an awakening for the revealed world. In other words, but why is that? It's not because that we have the power to awaken it. Because what's our relationship with Hashem? We're finite, Hashem is infinite. Even the revealed will, and especially the revealed will is connected to the infinite part of Hashem. But that's what Hashem wanted. That's why Hashem set up the world. Hashem made it the world that, yeah, you could reach out to him. Hashem gave us permission to access it. And that's the will of Hashem from the concealed level. And then you even have a higher level, the will that Hashem has from the essential part that we have the power to reveal the external will of Hashem. Now, so this that Hashem made a resolution in the will, which is basically totally concealed, that to awaken the revealed will, we have the power to do it. Why did Hashem allow us that? Why did Hashem allow us access that we can reveal the revealed will, that we can awaken that? Because Hashem wanted that the world should want godliness. So therefore he says, guess what? The revealed will is there, but you have to want it. The minute you want it, boom, it gets revealed. And just like, for example, in the kingdom down here in this world, that how does the king become a king? When the people crown him, which like it says in the Torah clearly, Soim Tosim Alech HaMelech, we have an obligation to place a king over us. Which basically means that the nation accepts God a king, and that we ourselves accept him. So Beis Nishab explains, we'll understand the connection where it says, Tamlichuni Aleichem, that Hashem wants us to be the king over him, with the mitzvah of blowing the shofar. Why? Because when we fulfill the mitzvah of blowing the shofar, what is that? Now we'll know what we're doing. When you're blowing it, what are we doing? That's in the words of Kabbalah, that's the Yisrus Lotata. That's our awakening. And our awakening saying, we're blowing the shofar, what are we doing? We're awakening the revealed will that Hashem allows us to do it, but we have to want it. So the shofar is the tool that represents the fact that we want God to be king over us, and then when we do that, God allows the revealed will to come out. Why is that? Because the acceptance of the essence of our soul, when we're blowing the shofar, it's not an awakening to so to speak, fire up the revealed will. But the awakening is that our work awakens that Hashem allows himself to be revealed. And therefore you need to have two components. That when we are awakening Hashem, and we're saying to Hashem, Hashem, you should be the king over us, we need to do it through blowing in the shofar. That's point number one. And the second thing is that we're drawing in the will, which is totally concealed, that allows that we do our job by blowing the shofar. And that's what Hashem decided in his will, that when we're gonna reach out the shofar, he's gonna accept. That comes from the acceptance of the soul by blowing the shofar. So there's two major pieces. When we blow the shofar, which is the mitzvah of blowing the shofar, so that reveals what Hashem allowed to be revealed. What causes, what? Why did Hashem choose that it should be revealed? Oh, because that's coming from, because our essence of our soul reaches the Ratzon HaMuchlet, the will which is concealed, and that's where Hashem allowed this process to happen. Now, even when it comes to the will which is totally concealed, there's two components there as well. And just like when we deal with revealed will, that when we draw down the will which is concealed, and then you awaken the will that's revealed, and that happens by us doing our part, like it's, in Kabbalah it's called the Sussal Tata, even though the our part, you can't compare. But that's the power of the infinite part of Hashem, where he's not limited to anything. And therefore, because Hashem is not limited, you don't need to do something off the charts. Literally, we can be finite. Hashem is infinite, and he gave us the power that we can reach the highest places. And like we explained before about real power. What's real power? It's not limited to only high places, holy things. It goes down to the lowest levels. And this will, which is concealed within Hashem, which is from the choosing Hashem, that this that Hashem chose, that he's going to be revealed through us doing our part, that shows the real power, the real awesomeness of Hashem. And this is what Hashem chose with his own choosing, that he should be revealed by us blowing the shofar. And ever since you can say, that's why when it comes to blowing the shofar, there's three ideas in general. So what's the three ideas? One is the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to blow the shofar. You have a mitzvah to blow the shofar. Then there's tshuva, I'm returning to Hashem. And then there's the third component, my inner acceptance, which comes from the essence of our soul. Three components when you blow the shofar: the mitzvah, returning to Hashem, and my soul's acceptance. Now, when we go ahead and we fulfill the mitzvah of blowing the shofar, that is the awakening which touches the revealed will of Hashem. That's component number one. Blow the shofar, it reveals, it awakens the revealed will of Hashem to blow to be the king. When we return to Hashem, those obviously through blowing shofar, what does that mean, returning? Returning means you're going out of your box, you're going out of your limitations. Then you're drawing in the hafla, the infinite part of the essence of us, of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which basically is the awakening of the revealed will, which comes with something which is totally, we're infinite, we're totally far from Hashem, and which is basically, which comes from the will which is totally concealed with Hashem in reference to reveal. But why did Hashem choose to allow that? Because when we're doing tshuva, we go out of the box, Hashem also breaks the laws of nature. But when we reveal the essence of our soul, which comes through blowing shofar, what happens then is, literally the will which is totally concealed comes down, and that is the choosing of the essence of Hashem, which comes through our soul. So those three levels impact on three different levels. And everything you can say, that the internal reason that every single Rosh Hashanah, everything goes back to its original state. Why is that? Because when you draw down Malchus, and even the part of Malchus which is to create the world, how did that happen? By saying Malchios, the verses about God being king, which basically is the acceptance of the essence of our soul, which reached, like we learned, reaches the Ratzon, the will, which is totally locked up within Hashem, and by doing that, we're actually bringing in the greatest revelations into the world. Now, even though in reference to the world, you don't need the greatest revelations. You just need the Hashem should want to continue creating the world. But nevertheless, since the awakening, and what caused to draw down the will that Hashem should keep on creating the world through our work, it comes because there was you're drawing in the will, which is totally locked up within Hashem, and how what awakened that? The acceptance of the essence of Hashem, and that part actually comes into the world. And when that part of the essence of Hashem comes into the physical world, we fulfill and we complete the intent of creation of the world, which is ultimately to have the dwelling place for Hashem down here. And that's why the verse says, Yivchalonu esnachlaseinu es goyin Yaakov, which means that the request of this verse and the general, the whole psalm that we say before Tkiyas Shofar is that as follows, that when we do the work of blowing the shofar, what should happen, besides the fact that we have a mitzvah of blowing the shofar, and besides the fact that we're returning to Hashem of blowing shofar, we're going to go down to the deepest level. What should happen is, what should be revealed is, the essence of our soul, the way the soul is in the highest, deepest place and part of Hashem. And why is our soul sourced in the essence of Hashem? Because that's what Hashem chose. Yivchalanu, Hashem chose. So we're doing the mitzvah blowing the shofar, we're doing tshuva, more importantly, we're drawing down the essence of our soul, which is in the highest level, that Hashem chose that it should be in the highest level. And the verse continues on to say, Es nachlaseinu, what does it mean? Es goyin Yaakov, because the revelation of this idea is in the point of our Judaism, nachlaseinu, which is in our heart, in every single person, which we said is the base of Mikdash of Yaakov, and like we explained before, that when we reveal the source of our soul, so we actually bring that down into the world, and through that we actually fulfill making the dwelling place for the essence of Hashem in the world. So you can explain the connection. On one hand, Goyin Yaakov is referring to the base of Mikdash that we each have in our heart, where on the other hand we said it's referring to the base of Mikdash, the literal translated vision of the future when Mashiach comes, the third temple, because the main dwelling place of Hashem is going to be where? Where is Hashem going to be revealed? In the third temple that's going to be built very, very soon through Mashiach's Tzidkenu. And ever since you can say, besides the connection of the verse, Yivchalonu, this verse, to the general idea of blowing the shofar, but it also has a special connection to the verse afterwards where it says, Allah Elokim B'truah Hashem B'kol Shofar. And like we learned, that the Jewish people, when we go ahead and we take the Shofar, and we blow it for Hashem, Hashem gets off the seat of judgment, and he shifts over to the seat of compassion. So what is the idea? What is the compassion that he's shifting over? That the compassion that comes down when we awaken Hashem to go from judgment to compassion, that's based on how much we awaken it. And the connection between these two verses are as follows, that when we take the shofar and we blow it, it's not only the awakening that we do, but what gets revealed is the essential choosing that Hashem chose the Jewish people. And therefore, when we awaken that deepest level, what kind of compassion comes out? Infinite compassion. Infinite compassion. And what gets drawn down from Hashem himself, from the essence of Hashem, for every single person, that endless, endless, infinite compassion, what gets drawn down is, for the Jewish people, a ksiva v'chasima toiva, which we written and sealed for good, l'shana toiva masuka, we should have a good year and a sweet year. And the Rebbe finishes off so beautifully, b'toiv hanira v'hanigla, in good that we see and that's revealed. So we have a beautiful Chassidic discourse that's going to get us ready for Rosh Hashanah to realize the power that we have in Rosh Hashanah. If we do it right, by blowing the shofar, by doing tshuva, more importantly, reaching to the essence of our soul, which is sourced in the essence of Hashem, and through reaching that level, we'll bring down godliness revelation into this world, which, like the Rebbe says, will transfer from judgment to compassion, but more importantly, not just compassion based on the mitzvah of blowing shofar and tshuva, but endless compassion, infinite compassion, and we'll all be blessed with the greatest blessings of Hashana Tova Masuka, and let's hope we have the ultimate blessing of the coming of Mashiach. Our next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. And again, Lashana Toivo U Masukah.